Hi, I'm Kylie.
And I'm Elliot.
We're hosts of Bad Dad, Rad Dad, a Snack Labs podcast where we look for better dads one movie at a time. Every week, we talk about the movies we watched, the thoughts and feelings they brought up in us, and the best and worst dads we found in them.
Our weekly movie picks can span decades, genres, languages, and more. Plus, we keep it totally spoiler-free so you can discover movies that you want to watch.
So join us every Thursday on our silly little movie journey to hear about the movies we watched that week.
And the dads they made us wish we had. Because
my dad's dead.
And my dad's a deadbeat.
But as far as we're concerned,
not all dads have to be bad.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
My love. I did a full vocal warm up today.
Did you?
Yeah, like a 25 minute singing. Like, wow. You know, and I feel vocally very prepared for this.
Well, that's good. I didn't do that. my vocal cords are naturally warmed up anyway. Listen to that.
It's
listen
because
to that
you
radio.
Purr.
Listen to
you
that
purr
radio.
Purr when you sleep.
That's not purring. You that's my sleep apnea.
Oops.
Yeah. I should, man. Yeah. You know what? That's one thing I've been thinking about recently is it's been such a fucking crazy past like 3 weeks for a myriad of reasons. But one big one is, are you drinking eggnog?
With rum in it.
Wow. If you want to see Bridie drinking eggnog with rum in it at 11:30 a.m., go to patreon.com/turnmeon and you can witness it. Actually, you look great. Honestly, I mean, you look great. The lighting's amazing. Like, you got a really good setup there. Anyway, let me finish that thought. So it's been a crazy week and a big part of that is because we moved out of our fucking home. We moved.
Of 7 years.
A home of 7 years.
We lived
there
for 7 years.
Man, 7 years. So many roommates. So many fucking roommates.
Think of how many people came through the doors of our house and lived with us. So many.
It's wild.
I mean, want to say like 12. Like probably 12 people. That's a lot.
Maybe more. I mean, here's the thing. It's like maybe more. There were roommates of, you know, of the variety that stick around for a long time and you develop like a really deep relationship with. But then there were a lot of like, you know, we kind of ran this like
momentary
weird boarding house, like where we would have like people like stop in to be roommates for like 2 months.
Recently separated from their marriage, yeah. Just needed a place to crash for 3 months.
I'll tell you, yeah. if you're looking to add some of that interesting dynamic to your life, Kijiji is a great spot to just find the most interesting characters. And I tell you right
Random.
Now. If I was going to write a book, about, if I was going to write like a memoir, there most certainly would be like the chapters that would just like insert a bit of like absurd humor would just be the chapters in my life of the specific humans that just happened to like plop into that home over 7 years. Cause it was a it was a really interesting madhouse of characters.
I think I've always, you know, we joked at the beginning of this podcast, like almost 4 years ago, about how like I thought running a brothel would be really fun.
Yeah.
I did kind of run like a, it was like a boarding house. In fact, my grandmother.
What is a boarding house? I just said that. I don't know what that is. What is that?
It's a place where people board.
Okay. There's no like, when someone says boarding house, it's not like, like a boarding house, wink, wink.
No.
Okay.
No, a boarding house is like, so my grandmother, what I was going to say is she always would ask in her letters if we still, or on the phone, if we still had boarders, not roommates, not, you know, she would always say like, are you still boarding people?
she would also say, how's your friend? And this was like, how's you know, your 4 years Jeremy? Into our marriage. How's
well,
your friend?
Actually, this is a really, I just going to intercept this. I brought a little show and tell today. I'm going through a lot of emotional stuff these days. So I thought it's, you know, the holidays, how am I going to honor the people that I've lost this year? And so I've been, you know, really trying to channel them. And then I came across this envelope, which surfaced actually at the beginning of the pandemic, of all the letters from my grandmother.
Right.
And I found a number of Christmas cards here. And this would be about the time of year we would be getting a Christmas card from Virgin.
Yeah.
So I just, for our patrons.
You've read Virgin's stuff before.
On the show, yeah.
Keep holding that up though, because one sec, Brad. There we go. Now we can see it. Yeah.
This card for the is classic.
For the listeners, it says Merry Christmas with a very spunky Christmas tree on it. And it looks like is the card glued onto paper?
The card is glued onto paper.
Okay. So hold on.
Wait, there's no back.
Hold on.
Wait. It's just the front of a card.
She took the front of a card, cut it off.
Cut it
off. And then she took that front of the card with the spunky Christmas tree, glued it onto a large piece of paper that has been cut with perforated scissors. All around the border.
Is that the right word? Perforated scissors? It basically,
I think so.
It's the zigzag. You know, those old school zigzag.
Yeah.
She was a school teacher, so she had all these cool stationery tools. She loves stationery. But anyway, this cut is on every fucking one of her letters. She
That's
cuts
really
every
cool.
one of her letters with the zigzag scissors. So yeah. And then on the inside of the card, on the piece of paper, she's glued a Christmas greeting. From the inside of a different card, I'm sure. Warmest greetings for the season and every good wish for the coming year. And then she's written there at the bottom, Bridie Jeremy, spelt wrong. Bridie Jeremy, in quotation marks, Merry Christmas to you both. Hope you are enjoying the holiday. Does your dog know it's Christmas? Love, Virgin Brent, December 2015.
That's really funny.
Right?
It isn't perforated. Scissors. That's I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Just decorative scrapbook edging scissors, edger scissors. That's really cute. Her letters were always really fun to get. And
oh my god, so many Christmas cards.
Yeah,
so many Christmas cards.
You know what you should. Look. You know what you should do with those cards is hold on to them, but send them to friends of ours.
Us?
Like just like and then be like, but and then, you know, a little note being like, this Merry Christmas, also I need this back,
you know? I'm gonna mail this to our new address. Just have them arrive every year.
So yeah, we moved out of this fucking house that had, like, you know, so many people in it over the years,
so
much
many memories.
Shit,
this is where Bigby lived his whole life.
Yeah, Bigby lived there his entire dog life. He didn't know any other home except for that home. Really?
Salt Spring.
Right. Salt Spring. So we're out, and now I'm living in a temporary space because we got this sweet little condo. We downsized big time, and that was what that was definitely what I needed. So I kind of wanted to move into a tiny home, so I got the next best thing and just got a fucking
tiny condo.
And So I'm living kind of at a temporary. I'm living with my good friend Rich in his basement, my first basement apartment living, and I don't hate it. I gotta say, I don't hate it. I was a little bit worried because I was like, oh, basements suck. But I've made this. I turned this little room into like I kind of like it. It's homey and it feels good. But we're waiting to get into the condo until a little closer to the holidays. So for now, we're coming to you at our respective. And Brody, you're living there with your friend Todd there. How's your friend Todd?
How's your friend? No, that's all she would say. Do you remember? I don't know if I told you. So I saw her in December. Almost probably a year ago to the day. Yep. I was on PEI with her and I had told her that I was coming to PEI with you and mm-hmm. Todd, and she had never heard about Todd. She didn't know anything about our relationship structure at this point. And, you know, I just picture her there in her rocking chair, like tisking, sort of gently weeping and knitting.
She would cry. Always, like, but I'm always just like, what is she crying about?
Anything. And then her just saying, like, her only response being like, I don't know what to say about what you told me. And then me being like, okay, well, just let me know how you feel. Like, I don't have to bring them here. I can just come with me. And she goes, well, I'll just be here. So just, I'm just going to be here. So bring them. Oh, and that was a really, really nice thing. I'm sure her poor 85-year-old mind was just like, you know what? I think I've had it with change and new information and new ways of doing things. Because then 2 months later, she kicked the bucket. So well, I think I probably killed her.
I wonder how she would feel about the
pandemic.
Fuck pandemic. That shit's old news. I'm talking about the alien news that dropped all this fucking week so far.
I'm sorry, alien news?
Are you not aware?
I'm not aware. Please, honestly.
I mean, it's a different podcast. It's for a different podcast. We don't have to get into it. But basically, it's been confirmed aliens exist, and the U.S. and Israel know about it, and they've signed a deal with the aliens not to reveal there's a Galactic Federation. I can't even get into it right now. It's too fucking much. Okay. Hold on. Oh man, we're losing patrons. We're losing fucking listeners. We're losing patrons. I have to just say it. Okay.
Say it.
A huge. Like a big time Israeli former Israeli defense like official specifically for the like space defense. I'm just gonna Google. This will be easier. Let's do it this way. I'll just Google alien, and then we can go through it together here as a group. If you want to,
you're gonna Google
if you
alien
look at this bullshit. Just go over to patreon.com/Jeremyon.
Alien.
Yeah, so this is what's going on. Oh, Jesus Christ. Former Israeli space
humanity
security chief
not
says,
ready.
That yeah, man. Okay, so look, the National Post, Global News, the Jerusalem Post. The Jerusalem Post one is pretty well put together. So basically this is what it is. Former Israeli space security chief says aliens exist. Aliens exist. Humanity not ready. This is like, again, it's been a long fucking couple of weeks. This shit gets me so hard. I had like wet dreams last night because I read this yesterday. Like, this is so, I fucking love this shit. I don't give a shit if it's not real or not. I'm not that dumb.
What do you mean? Isn't it real?
You know what? Who knows? Who knows? But I love it. I just love it. I really want to believe. I want to believe, but I don't know. All right. Look, get this tagline, though. This Galactic Federation has supposedly been in contact with Israel and the U.S. for years, but are keeping themselves secret to prevent hysteria until humanity is ready. So basically what this guy is saying is that aliens have been down here. They've been in contact with the U.S. and other, you know, certain countries. And basically, they have expressed to you know, us being humans, select humans, that there is a Galactic Federation that exists. of alien life. So a whole galaxy, a whole like neighborhood of beings that have a federation. They're like, this, we all exist in the same galaxy and we all connect with each other. And, you know, we share resources and yada, yada, whatever. I'm reading into what that could possibly be, but there's a galactic federation. Okay. And they know of our existence and they're like, we got to get these guys in on the federation, but they're fucking, they're not ready yet. They're way too cuckoo. They're way too wacko. They're all fucking like, you know, they're trying to kill each other and, you know, they're destroying their planet and they're obsessed with social media and yada, yada, yada. Like all the shit that just makes us fucking dumb. The aliens are going, they're not ready. So they're waiting until we are like, you know, whatever, evolve to a point where we're ready for them to go, hey, cool. Now you can know we exist.
You can be in the club.
And he was also saying, I'm so sorry, everybody. I'm so, so sorry. He was also saying that the aliens, they have the same, they have basically kind of the same intentions of us. They're trying to figure out the meaning of the universe. They're trying to figure out like the meaning of life. They don't know. They don't have the answers either. So anyway, we're not alone, folks. There was another really crazy thing that this guy said. His name is Haim Eshed. He also said that there is that they signed a deal with the aliens and there is a bunker on Mars and there are some humans that are there and aliens that are there coexisting and basically, you know, working out plans. So there we go. And this, look,
whoa.
And this is like being covered. This is being covered. This is why I love this, is because this isn't just some wacko website. This is being covered by like every major news network. And sure, you know, this guy, Eshed, is 80 something years old and probably losing his fucking mind.
Don't be ageist now.
But isn't that cool though? Man, I love that.
I love it too, just in terms of like, you know, sometimes when things are really difficult, like so much of, so much has been lately. It's just really nice to zoom out and be like, you know what? Aliens exist and
we don't matter.
I could die any second.
Yeah, 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 that's right. Yeah, that's also part why I love it. So anyway, yeah.
That's exciting news.
Yeah, yeah, isn't that fun?
That is really, really fun.
So there's that. And the holidays are upon us. And
they are.
And it's, you know, it's not going to be the holidays that we're all used to, whatever that is for you. But I'm still excited because I really do. I know that Christmas gets a lot of hate. And there's like people love being like, I fucking hate the holidays. And rightfully so. There's lots of reasons to hate it. But I love Christmas time. It still reeks of nostalgia for me, and that nostalgia oozes out of my pores, and it makes my belly feel like there's butterflies in it, and even though I know that it's going to be the lamest Christmas that I've had, you know, with like fam and stuff, I'm looking forward to finding the ways to make it special for myself this year. And you and I were kind of talking about that yesterday on a walk that we took through the park with Rose. And I'm just like so happy that this time is here because
yeah,
it's been a fucking shit year, but the vaccines are coming in Santa Claus's Christmas bag. And that is something that makes me feel jolly.
Well, that's very sweet, babe. I have long been I don't hate Christmas. I certainly don't hate Christmas. There are I am also so nostalgic and, you know, like there are things about Christmas that just seize my heart and make me feel so joyful and so peaceful. And I have realized that in the absence of traveling this year, because I'm always like, okay, how am I going to split my time? I got to go to this house. I got to go to this house. I got to go over there. And that comes from a long time of like being in a like a pretty extended family, but also now, of course, like with our relationship and the other families that are now all in my family. And, and then with COVID, there's like, it's like, well, like, you know, I'm not even going into other people's houses. So mm-hmm. I've really reduced travel. And for the first time in a really long time, like I went for a walk yesterday or a few days ago and I walked into a store and I just saw things. I was like, I'm going to buy that for so-and-so. I'm going to get this for so-and-so. And I just like,
what'd you get for me?
Enjoyed Christmas. I didn't get you anything.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, no, I'm focusing on the babies in my life. So yeah. My 12 nieces and nephews. And then
12, Bride? Oh my God.
Yeah, I have 12 nieces and nephews now.
Jesus.
I might even be missing one because I feel like one was born like a second ago. Mm-hmm. But and then, you know, one of my oldest friends just had a baby and
yeah,
like
having babies now.
And I think too, like with COVID and the consideration of like the bubble and also, ooh. You know, like as of just like recommitting to the really important relationships in my life feels exciting. Yeah. Anyway, I'm excited about the gifts that I bought that I'm sending to people in a way that I haven't been like excited to give a gift in a really long time.
Oh, that's fun. That's nice. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun. I'm going to throw this out to our listeners. If you are feeling, you know, because I'm sure you're not alone in this thought of like, and whether or not you celebrate Christmas or whether or not you celebrate Hanukkah or you know whatever it is that you celebrate at this time of year, if you celebrate, I'm sure that Bridie and I are not alone in this feeling of you know. Things not being normal or maybe we're not alone in this feeling of trying to find the new, God damn it. I almost fucking said it. Find the new normal. And I fucking hate that term so much, but if you're one of those people that are, you know, that are trying to figure out the ways to make things, exciting and merry and jolly, send us an email, turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com and let us know what you are doing. And maybe we'll, if we have, you know, maybe we'll read some nice ideas out if we get any, if you, you know, and even if you're just down and out and just want to rant or complain about your Christmas, send us an email and we'll rant it out for you. But yeah, I don't know. I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah. We'll stop talking about it now. So,
all right, enough about it. Cool, baby. Well,
do you want to throw to the episode, or what do you
think? I think so. Yeah, I think that's what I'm. That's what I'm feeling. I just feel like there have been such beautiful moments over the last couple of weeks. In the midst of like things getting really hairy, like even hairier in some parts of the world, and in our province and in our city, over the last couple of weeks have been really intense. And we had this conversation, I want to say last week, sort of in the thick of a lot of other things going on. And it's funny because we recorded with this guest months and months and months ago, mm-hmm. and didn't realize till the Wednesday we were going to put it out that we lost the conversation. We didn't get this person's audio. Mm. So getting the chance to like have this conversation again after some time had passed was really great. And I just think this person is a really lovely human. And the conversation brought a lot of joy to my dark season, my dark winter season.
I'll go one step further and even say that this conversation that we're about to throw to, for me personally, was a highlight of Turn Me On 2020. I really enjoyed this conversation, and I have a feeling that you will too, if you've been an OG listener and been sticking with us through thick and thin. This is going to be right up your alley. We talked to our friend Tim all the way over on the other side of the country. And Tim is a part of the ABDL community, the Adult Baby Diaper Lover community. And I have a feeling this episode might come to a bit of a surprise for you. So I hope you enjoy it. Tim is a lovely, lovely human. And this is, again, this is one of my favorite conversations from the year. So enjoy it, because we most certainly did. Well, this is going to be fun, because this is the second time around that we've tried to make this happen with a good chunk of time in between from the first time we made an attempt. We are sitting down with our friend Tim. Tim is all the way over on the other side of the country from us. And a while back, we tried to record a full episode. We actually did record a full episode. And all we came out of it with was my audio and Bridie's audio, and we didn't have Tim's audio. And that's kind of a bummer, because it was all about Tim and Tim's experience. So we couldn't really use that recording, but we gave it some time. We came back. We're going to give it another attempt, and I'm just going to cut straight to the chase. We are talking about, correct me if I'm wrong, the ABDL community. Yeah?
Nailed it. Got it. Yeah.
I'm not very good with acronyms, but I did it. Tim, why don't you lay out for us, what is ABDL? What is the ABDL community?
For sure. So the ABDL community is the adult baby diaper lover community. It is people who either like to wear diapers, or who express themselves as different ages and do what is referred to as age play. So dressing up as different ages, kind of reverting their headspace and being taken care of by a big or a caregiver. So it's just a community that finds a lot of calm and peace in either wearing diapers or acting like a baby.
So I guess I'm assuming, I should never assume, one should never assume, but I am going to make a little assumption. I'm guessing there's at least one person who's listening who heard that and is thinking, why? Why does that community exist? Why are there people that that would have interest in wearing diapers if they're not a baby, or if they are not a senior who has troubles with incontinence? Is that the word? Incontinence?
Incontinence is the right word. And it's not just seniors who live with incontinence. Well, no, there's lots of people wear diapers that are not seniors or babies.
I did wet the bed till I was 14. So, technically I've had some incontinence issues in my past. Mm-hmm. So it's not just old folk. but why the community exists? I think it's like any kind of lifestyle community, any kink community, that there's just something about it that for some people is really sexual. There are people who love to dress up and, you know, jerk off in their diaper and watch porn, and it's a really sexual thing. And then for others of us, it's just a really calm thing. It's a headspace. It's a way to kind of disconnect from the world. The little bit of research I've done, it seems like a lot of people in the community live pretty high stress jobs and have high stress lives, which you often hear from people in different BDSM communities. And so I think it's just a way for a lot of us to just relax, just to kind of reset the brain and calm. I know for me, I work a high stress job. I've got a lot of time constraints and a lot of pressure at work. To be able to wear and just relax and calm down. And it's like I become a whole different person, that when I'm wearing, I'm just more loving and accepting and calm, and I'm a better boss, I'm a better partner, I'm a better friend. So I think for a lot of us, it's just a way to feel a little bit of inner peace.
One of the things you said there, about the ABDL community, it leads me to believe, and maybe our listeners too, that, you know, this is a big umbrella for many variations of expression of this community, and your expression of it or your experience of it is about comfort, you know, nurturing. But it sounds like the sexual side of it isn't necessarily something that you are drawn to about it. So I'm wondering how you sort of stumbled into this community or just like became aware of it, and what exploration you've done under that umbrella to sort of find the right fit for you, so to speak.
I think I stumbled it. So when I was, as I mentioned, a kid, I went to bed. I've got some other health conditions that affect how much urine I produce. And I went to bed as a kid until I was about 14. So I think a big part of it was when I was 13, 14 and the internet was around. I used to go to the Good Nights website, get some information on them and connect with other kids. And then through that, I found a website called Daily Diapers that a lot of people in my age range, kind of that early 30s, will admit that they found it. It was kind of the first one that was around back in the day. And then there was a lot of kind of binging and purging. I would buy things, buy diapers, buy clothes, wear them, feel a lot of shame, throw them out, which I'm sure is an environmental disaster and was pretty hard on the pocketbook, but it is what it is at this point, I guess. And then I explored the AB side of it, the dressing up like a baby and sucking on a suit. And it really didn't do much for me. It wasn't something that I enjoyed or wanted to do again. And then Twitter's been a huge thing. There's a huge ABDL community on Twitter. And so I've connected with a lot of people there that allowed me to explore and try things and connect. And over time, I've just realized more and more how important it is to me. And then when I started dating my fiance, I did the, oh, I want to give it up and there's something wrong with me, and was filled with a lot of shame. And trying to give it up, I realized just how important it is to my mental health and to my well-being. And so that was kind of the big flag to me that this is just going to be part of my life from now until I die. And that it comes into our relationship and we've learned to navigate it. But just over time, I've just learned what it does for me and how important it is.
Is your fiance the first intimate partner that you've had that you've shared this part of yourself with?
Yes.
And what was that? What was that like?
It was scary. She moved in to my place after I think 4 or 5 dates, and I said, you know, bring your stuff in, make yourself at home, but don't go into that closet. And I came home one day, and the closet door was open, and she was on the bed going, "What the fuck?"
Yeah. The telling a partner, hey, everything's all good, but definitely for sure, if you want to continue to have things be all good, definitely don't look behind that door.
Hindsight, Jesus. Maybe not the best idea.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just picturing like what's going through her head in those moments. Like, are there bodies in there? What's the...
I mean, I'm just thinking about what it would be like right now, Jeremy, if you and I still, like, if that had been a part of, like, our original relationship where I was like, hey, don't look inside that closet. And, like, 12 years later, you're like, I still don't know what's back there. It would be that would be really different.
That would be really interesting, yeah.
So you came home and the door was open.
It started as a big fight, kind of what the fuck, which is totally fair and totally valid. And over time, we talked about it and talked about how important it was. And it started with small steps. It started with she didn't want them in the bedroom. They're fine in the house, just not in the bedroom. And then she finally said, move them into the bedroom. They're part of who you are. And then after that, they got moved into the bathroom. So now they're on full display. So kind of over the last year, it was just a slow progress. It was about we both recognized that it was important to me, but it was also finding a way to bring it into her lives that she was comfortable with, that it's something that she's new to and that it is something that you don't expect when you meet your partner. I don't think you look at me and go, he likes to wear diapers. And so it took some time and we navigated it and a lot of talking and a lot of communication. And I think in the end it actually helped our relationship because it forced us to communicate. It forced us to talk about the awkward things, forced us to talk about things like sex, right? How do we have sex on the days I'm wearing?
You know, yeah.
She doesn't want me sticky and covered in urine, putting my penis inside of her. So, in the end, I think it was a real positive for our relationship, but it did take some time and a lot of communication. And there was the odd fight, but in the end, it worked out, which is great.
Turn Me On Podcast will be back after this short break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Yeah, and now look at you guys. You have all this extra closet space now that door can be opened. And
right. It's been refilled. You got to keep a good supply on the hand. Yeah, right, yeah.
Based on what you just said there, I take it that this isn't something that you do every single day. Like, what is the sort of like, you know, what's a typical week or month in terms of your usage of diapers in your day to day? Like, is it only something you turn to when you are feeling a particular way or when like stress is a little higher than normal? Or is it something that's kind of like, you know,
maintenance?
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of goes on a binge purge cycle. So I'll find that things get stressful and I'll start wearing more, and it might be every day for a month or every day for a week or every day for 2 months. And then things kind of calm down and I'm okay. And I don't wear for a couple months or a couple weeks or a couple days. And so it's tough to say. I have found that kind of there's two times in my work year where things get particularly stressful, working in an agricultural related business. Kind of when everything's coming in and we're trying to clear out all the equipment. So I find that those times of year I wear more. So I think it's definitely stress related, but there are some times where I just feel like I need it and need that maintenance and wear for a couple hours, and that lasts me for a few weeks or a few days. So,
man, having such a physical response to like an impulse to wear to stress must be sort of helpful in a way as like a monitor of like, how am I doing right now?
Yeah, right.
It's a good mental health check-in.
Yeah.
I've struggled my whole life with mental health issues. I'm on medication for it. And so it is nice to kind of have a litmus test of where I'm at and how I'm doing. And, there's been times where I've come home and my partner said, just go put one on for a couple hours. You clearly need it.
Yeah.
So it is a physical rendition of my mental well-being, which is really interesting.
How has that sort of shame cycle you were describing changed since sort of working through that with your partner?
Well, that's a good question. Sorry, I know that the silence on a podcast-based program isn't great, but I think the biggest thing is I can talk about the shame and communicate now, where before they'd go in the closet, I'd shut the door, and that was a secret in my life that no one got to know. And now when I'm feeling that shame, you know, she does a great job of reminding me that I'm not a freak, that I'm not weird, that this is just something that I need. And so it helps. The cycles are a lot less now as a result. That kind of the highs are less high because I've got other support systems in my life, and the lows are less low because when I'm feeling that way, she's able to, you know, give my head a shake and we can talk about it. Mm. So I actually have found that in being open, I seem to wear a lot less because I don't have that same mental health kind of spike and dip that I did before.
Is there
anybody else who knows? Like, is your fiance, was she the first person outside of, you know, outside of like the anonymity? I can't fucking say that word ever. Brad,
anonymity.
The anonymity of like forums and chat rooms and stuff. Like, is there anybody else in your family or peer group that know that you wear diapers?
I've told a couple people. After our last chat, I really thought about it. I've had a couple friends who have found out that by accident. One friend found out because I had a box delivered and I went up to go change after work, and she thought it was a gift for her sister-in-law's baby, so she opened it. And, which is weird in and of itself. But and then my partner, when we started talking about it, you know, I gave her the okay to talk to her best friend about it, that sure. If she needed a support system that wasn't me, that she should have that too, that it wasn't fair to her to not have anyone. You know, her friend's out on the East Coast, where my partner's from, so we don't see her often, so maybe that's for the best, I don't know, but she's been loving and supporting. And then kind of early on in my exploration, I explored it more as a sexual kink. Particularly in the world of BDSM. So I had a friend who was a dom mistress. So her and I explored it, but over that time I realized that wasn't the right fit, or we weren't the right fit, and it wasn't particularly sexual. But other than that, actually that's not true. There's one other person. I met someone online on FetLife who also wears, and I've gone for beers with him a couple times. So more and more people are starting to know, but it's still a pretty pretty small world.
Do you think that, sorry, Brad, just one more thing. Do you think that, you know, knowing that you're on a podcast that's and being listened to by, you know, a fair amount of folks, like, do you think this is another one of those steps in sort of reducing any residual shame that exists within? Cause I know we already did this recording once, and when we first did it, and I hope it's okay that I say this, but when we first did it, you were actually with your fiance. Like, she was there as your sort of like moral support. It doesn't seem like she's there with you now. So like, is there, just through talking about it with a couple of people that you don't even know, and knowing that this will be, you know, broadcast, like, is there a feeling of what's the word that I'm looking for here, like a feeling of release, or like
catharsis, release
in a catharsis, yeah, and being able to just like openly talk about it, knowing that it will be heard by a number of people?
There is, for sure. I think last time I was a lot more nervous. I mean, if the recording had worked, my voice was a lot shakier. I was less confident, I think, with my answers. So even in talking about it the first time to now has made a huge difference. So I think this is definitely quite cathartic, which I think is part of the reason that I wanted to do this. One, because it's still kind of a fringe part of the kink world. You know, and a lot of people remember the people who wore diapers on Jerry Springer, and that's, you know, the only exposure they've had to it. So I think part of it is just trying to normalize it for myself and for other people. But it's also just a catharsis to talk about it, to be open about it, you know, and to share it with people who are open to listening without judgment, which, you know, I can't call up most of my friends and tell them and not feel like I'm being judged.
You bring up a really interesting point there about, you know, people remember Jerry Springer and, you know, whatever portrayals of whatever we see on television. I don't know if you've seen the movie Disclosure, but like Disclosure is a lot about trans representation in the media, or that's what it is about. It's a documentary about that. And
or the lack thereof.
Yeah. But in the exposure, like how it's exposed and what sort of that leads people to believe about trans people. And so it's really interesting. I don't think it crossed my mind the last time we chatted about this, but that is something I wonder about, the representations of that in film and in media, and what sort of, I mean, I can make some assumptions and some guesses about what sort of picture is painted about those folks, but I never really thought about sort of keeping an eye out for that moving forward. So thank you for making that point. I don't know if this is like too personal of a question, but I find myself really curious about the process of learning that it wasn't a sexual thing for you. Like, you know, exploring anything sexually, especially if it's something that's like on the fringes, could be really sensitive, like tender, vulnerable experience. And I wonder, like, having those experiences that were sort of sexual and feeling like, no, this isn't for me, was that difficult? Or how did you approach that in such a way that was like your nervous system could handle, you know, whatever, I don't know how to ask that, but like, how do you approach exploration in that way and respond to the feelings of that's not for me?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it started with the website Daily Diapers, and there's pics, there are pictures they would post all the time. And so I guess started with that and looking at those photos and realizing that the things that I was attracted to wasn't the diaper. It was how pretty the person was, or, you know, breasts or a penis or a vagina, whatever was shown that was more exciting. And then I also found that when I would watch diaper related porn, it was always other things that got me excited, like spanking or someone giving up control. And so just kind of over time, I realized that that wasn't what I was attracted to, that wasn't the thing that turned me on. I've also been pretty open sexually and exploring my sexuality. It's kind of come with its own story, and it's probably a conversation for another day. But with that, it's allowed me to just to be open and try things and go, yeah, that's great, I love it, or that's not for me. And not feel like I have to fit within some framework. That if it works, awesome, and I enjoy it, cool. And if not, I'll just try something else. And so diapers have been the same, that I've tried it and explored it, and I've realized that it's just not what gets me off, and so I just don't continue it.
Do you feel any pressure internally or about needing to find a different way of sourcing comfort? Or do you have other ways of like sourcing comfort that that are part of your repertoire? Yeah, I guess my question is just like, do you think this will always be a part of your life or not?
I mean, I have other sources of comfort. Cuddling on the couch with my partner is a huge one for both of us. Human touch is a big comfort for me. I think diapers will always be a part of my life. I don't know in what capacity, because it's changed over time in the 30 whatever years I've been alive. And so I don't know what it's going to look like when I'm 60 or 70 or 80 or, you know, even next week. But I would be shocked if it's not a part of my life forever.
Did you ever, you know, have you ever spoken to, from like the perspective of speaking to a mental health professional about your, about your struggles with mental health? So, you know, like a therapist and has the diapers, wearing diapers ever come up in that setting? And if so, like, was it received as though there was something like wrong, like stigmatized, or this is like a problem you need to work through? Have you kept this like completely separate from like that realm?
Up until this point, I've kept it separate. I mean, I've spent years and years in therapy and the best investment I've ever made. If there's anyone listening wondering if they should go talk to a counselor, do it for sure. Yeah. It is worth every penny. Go to a counselor. If you like them, great. If you don't, find another one. You can hop around until you find the right fit. So I spent years and years in therapy and love it. And it's a huge part of my mental health and my mental well-being. I've talked to MDs and I'm on medication for my mental health. But I've never brought up the diapers. And I probably should have, and I probably will at some point. I think because there was so much shame, there was also other things that needed to come up first. I've spent years working on some sexual trauma I had as a child that kind of has taken priority in therapy, and some gender expression and gender identity things. So I think working on those and moving past those, for lack of a better term, I think it opens up the realm to talk about the diapers more. But up to this point, there's just been bigger pictures to look at that have been more important for me.
Is there like a sense of fear in crossing that bridge when you get to it? You know, it like in that it might be like I'm trying to put myself in your shoes, right? And if this is something that like I know brings me comfort and brings me solace, yet it is also knowing that it is something that's so stigmatized, I feel like I would be a bit hesitant or afraid to like express how important this is to me to a therapist in the fear that they're going to see this as like some sort of
threat,
you know, some sort of like deviancy that's like actually going like that's actually not helping, or you know, or just like be misunderstood. And you know, I think that's just me making assumptions about somebody's practice, so who fucking knows what their response would be, right? But like I think that would be an innate fear that I would have of like I don't want to bring this up if your response is simply going to be, we need to take this away. Is there any sort of like hesitancy or fear about that? Or have you thought about that?
I've thought a lot about it because I've seen a few different counselors and there's been a couple that I didn't like their approach and their responses to other things. So I wouldn't bring it up with them. There's one I've been working with now for 4 or 5 years. Who I know I could tell and talk about, and probably will. She's on parental leave right now, and so not an option at this point. But yeah, I think if they're a good counselor, then they need to be open to discussing the why and how and how important it is to me. And if it's something that after several sessions and lots of discussion, we decide needs to go away, that's one thing. Mm. But if they're not even open to it at the start, I don't think they're the right counselor for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting question. I just, not to make this about me, but I'm just to relate. I remember feeling when I first sought out counseling, I was wrestling with an eating disorder, and I'm not equating that wearing is harmful the way that an eating disorder is. But I definitely went into that session of like, don't fucking take this away from me. This is not what I'm here to deal with. I'm here to talk about other shit. Don't try to take away this like sense of control that I have in my life. And he was like, okay, no problem. And you know, a couple years later.
Yeah, you got to build that trust, right? You have to build the trust with your counselor. It's a relationship that takes time.
Yeah.
You know, I think I spent 6 months talking about my dad and my family before talking about any of the things that I was actually there for. Mm-hmm. So I totally get it, right? You go in and it's like, I'm here for this, but let's talk about all these other things first so that I know I trust you and I know I can work with you.
Such an investment of time and money, and
it is, but it's worth it.
Oh no. We didn't lose our recording, did we?
We didn't.
Okay, good.
But dang, we lost him.
Come back.
But we will get him back.
He's back.
And we're back after some technical difficulties. One thing that I think would be worth noting is that, you know, before we began, before we had our very first conversation, I remember coming into the conversation with my own preconceived notions, my own kind of not judgments or you know, I wasn't coming into it thinking like, oh, we're gonna talk to a crazy person who wears diapers. But there was like a, whoa, this person wears diapers. What is that all about? And like the, you know, kind of like questions of trying to wrap my head around why anyone would do that, or like what does that world look like, and where does it stem from? And then I remember like 5 minutes into our first conversation, I immediately felt like kind of like annoyed with myself to be like, you came into that with so much expectations, and not that you did, you don't exceed my expectations, Tim, but I started to realize quite quickly that like, This is not the super outlandish, weird fetish that I can't wrap my head around, that I was like, that I just immediately came to the thought of before we even spoke, right? And then we lost your recording, and I was like, mother, fuck. because in my head I was like, if I feel this way, there's got to be somebody else out there who's listening to the podcast who would also think that and come into it like that. And so I, you know, knowing that we're going to be able to put this out, I feel so grateful to have this platform to be able to have these types of conversations, and for people like yourself who are willing to do something that at one point in your life would have seemed really, really fucking scary and like totally off the table. And I just like, I really value the time that you've taken to talk to us. And I guess one thing that I do want to ask before we come to an end is that is there anything that you would want to say to anything specific that you'd like to say to anyone out there who did come into this clicking on the episode, seeing the title with like some sort of judgment or preconceived notion about, you know, whatever, like you being a freak, or like the person who pictures Jerry Springer and some person standing on a stage being, you know, being ridiculed and mocked.
I think all I would say is to take a step back and look at this and go, no, I'm not hurting anyone. I'm not hurting myself. I'm not hurting my partner. It's something that makes me feel better, makes me a better person, and it does it without hurting anyone. You know, I'm not drinking a bottle of vodka a night to feel okay. Mm. Or, you know, I'm not cutting myself or whatever it may be. I'm doing something that makes me better. It makes me happier. It makes me more whole and more complete. And I'm doing it in a way that doesn't hurt anyone else. It doesn't affect anybody else except for me and my partner. You know, if you see me wearing and you notice, you may think I'm a freak, but it doesn't affect you. It mm-hmm. doesn't affect your life. And so I think it's just, I would say to those people that have all the judgments you want, but just recognize that I'm a healthy, happy person, and this is part of that. And I just ask for enough respect that you keep your ignorance to yourself.
Well said. I think that there's something that swells in my heart about just like loving humanity a little more after, like, some conversations just make you go, fuck, man, we can be good humans. Like, we have ways of like taking care of ourselves that, like you said, don't hurt anyone, and that are real authentic expressions of like our life experiences and who we are and what we need and what we want. And I think that I'm really as well grateful for the conversation to be able to just like even just open a door in my mind that I never even knew was there before. Like, what's this human experience like? I'm glad it's like a closet door that just got mm-hmm. opened for me. So mm-hmm.
yeah.
Thank you.
Tim, I'm really stoked that we had a second opportunity to do this because after the first, again, we were just gutted that we lost your recording. Mm-hmm. So to make this happen and make this reality really, really does mean a lot. And again, I just want to thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedule to sit down with us and to give us a little bit of insight into your personal life, to help destigmatize and just normalize the differences that we all face and that we all deal with. So this has been really, really sweet, man. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you both very much. And thank you for having a platform I could do this on and other people can. So thank you both.
All right. Well, there you go. I wasn't lying. Pretty fucking top shelf stuff, hey?
We have been so fortunate to have had the conversations we've had over the last 4 years. Like, there are, I think, not that I take it for granted, but I sometimes don't even like, it's hard to remember what my brain was 4 years ago before starting having these conversations and how I've been impacted. But I'd like to think that it's in line with what listeners who've been with us for a long time say, which is just like, it's really opened doors in their mind. It's really helped me be more accepting and communicative of my own wants, desires, needs, boundaries, like just expressing myself and knowing mm-hmm. myself. And we get the benefit of reading those lovely emails from people who tell us what they're getting from this, but you know, our guests, they come in, they record, and then that's it. And they don't get to hear how much their honesty and vulnerability of like speaking about their experiences really benefits mm-hmm. other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's It is. It's a gift to have this ability to do this and to know that there's people out there who get to share in that. So if you enjoyed that, good. We will be back next week with another episode, another conversation. Actually, Bridie, you and I should have a personal conversation off the mics about what we're doing for the holidays, if we're going to take a couple of weeks off and maybe re-release past episodes. But anyway, that's another conversation for us to
We
have
do here. Have a couple of great conversations in the bank over the last month that I'm super excited to get out
there.
And just like timely and wonderful stuff we're really excited about, and lots more conversations to be recorded in the coming weeks. So stay tuned. We're coming at you week after week.
Yes. So week after week, if you want to send us an email, if you want to reach out to us at all, send us an email, turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com. Our Instagram is likely not going to be around for long. It's getting zucked. It's getting zucked right up into the zuck sphere. amongst other things. So we're likely if you have anything to say to us and you send it through there, probably not going to be seen. So if you want to reach out to us, we do respect and appreciate any and all interactions with us. You can just send it through email. Just old school fucking email. Turn me on
Do
podcast.
You want a mailing address?
If you want, definitely not putting that out there.
Post office box.
Definitely not putting that out there. send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. And I think that is all for this week.
Yeah, it sure is. You take care out there. We love you.
Yep. And you know what? While we're at it, go fuck yourself. Trying to sneak it out of me.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.